All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here to dig a little deeper with you into the letter of Paul to Philemon. This we put on with Colossians because Philemon is a member of the Church of Colossae. In fact, he is the host of the Church in Colossae as it meets in his house, as we see in this letter. It is a very short letter, and I'm still breaking it up among 3 weeks to give us a little bit of time in there. But one of the things that is front and center, and we'll talk about right now, and we'll talk about at the end, is that nowhere in this epistle is Paul asking or demanding and commanding as an apostle for Philemon to give Onesimus his freedom. That's not necessarily the case. This was slightly different than what we see in our own country's history of slavery. But here in the Roman Empire, you had 80 to 90 plus percent of all people in the Roman Empire who either were enslaved or had slave origins. Somebody in their family had been a slave at some point in time. And it's a very much different idea than what we had, as many times this is not a taking away from your home and putting you into manual work. This is you owed somebody a debt, and your slavery was the payment of that debt. When they said that your time was up for paying your debt, then your time was up, you were freed. A very, very different system than what we had in the South up until the Civil War. But Philemon is a short book, and we will have short diggings into it over the next couple of weeks to talk about the main things here. And again, I said we have Philemon hooked in with Colossians because Philemon is a member at Colossae. So as we look to starting this epistle, we look to Dr. Eschelbach's book, the New Testament Book of Questions and Answers, and his one for Philemon, the big one, was, what is the purpose of Philemon? And he writes, the purpose of this letter to Philemon is a fascinating study. The obvious purpose of the letter was to secure the freedom of Onesimus from Philemon, his legal master or owner. This was apparently accomplished. The enduring purpose of the letter for the Christian community has to do with the proper use of authority, the power of grace, and the conduct of Christians. Paul has authority, but does not use it to command what love has readily inspired. Paul relies on the power of God's grace for his own life, and now for the goodwill of Philemon towards Onesimus. Christians do not run away or hide from the law, but submit to it in love for others, and in the fearlessness that comes from being delivered from the condemnation of it. As he points out, Genesis 3, John 18, and Romans 3. So let's look at those verses real quick. Genesis 3, verses 8 to 10. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and hid myself." John 18, starting in verse 4. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have not lost one." And then from Romans 3, starting in verse 28. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. So Dr. Eschelbach reminds us that yes, even though we are people who live by grace, we are definitely ones who use our faith to uphold the law. Dr. Franzmann, as he writes in his The Word of the Lord Grows book on the New Testament, takes Luther's account of Philemon here. Luther portrays Paul in this letter as being a Christ to Onesimus, pleading his cause with his master as if he had no rights. Even as Christ did for us with God the Father, so also does St. Paul for Onesimus with Philemon. For Christ also has put himself out of his rights, and with humility has prevailed with his Father, that he should lay aside his wrath and his rights, and receive us to grace for Christ's sake. For we are all his Onesimi, if we believe it. So far, Luther. There is a great amount of debate on the Book of Philemon, and we could talk about that for quite some time. But basically, as Dr. Eschenbach believes, there is the emancipation of Onesimus here, not explicitly but implicitly stated and desired by Paul. But then you also have many throughout the centuries who talk about Paul telling Onesimus to go and serve your master. Just like he says in 2 Corinthians, that if you were brought into the faith as a slave, don't look for your freedom. But continue to serve as both of you having one master, that being our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we're going to look at the first 7 verses of Philemon this week. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. All right, there is verses 1-7 of the Epistle to Philemon. So we look back here and we think, okay, this is just a regular beginning to the epistle for Paul here, but it isn't. St. Jerome points out, Paul has not used prisoner of Jesus Christ in any other epistle as part of his name, although he used it in Ephesians and in Philippians as a form of proclamation. Thus, I think it of more importance that he says that he is a prisoner of Christ Jesus than that he is an apostle. Indeed, the apostles gloried that they were worthy to suffer abuse for the name of Jesus Christ. Indeed, their chains carried an automatic authority. But this is the only epistle, even though you have Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians also being written at the same time, this is the only one where instead of Paul saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And this shapes the entire form of the letter, because he is starting out with his authority being the fact that he himself is imprisoned. All right, move on to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. So we have here Philemon being the host and the man who owns the house where the church in Colossae, where Epaphras is the pastor, is there. Archippus and Apphia are mentioned, and because for most people, they are believed to be Philemon's son and wife, respectively. St. Chrysostom tells us about Apphia. It seems to me that she was his partner in life. Observe the humility of Paul. He both joins Timothy with him in his request and asks not only the husband, but the wife also, to whom Paul may be a friend as well. Then Archippus has a little bit of a discrepancy here among the church fathers. Chrysostom says, it seems to me too that he who joins whom he joins with him in this request, was also one of the clergy. Jerome has the same thing of having him be the bishop in Colossae and not Epaphras. Pelagius has Archippus as a deacon of the church, pointing back to Colossians 4:17, and Archippus is mentioned there. But Theodore Mopsuestia comes out and just says, Archippus is the son of Philemon and Apphia. So that's why these two are also named in this, because they are the family that runs things. And Onesimus was a slave in that household. So we move on to verse 6. And through 3-6, we have the grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. The thankfulness of thanking God in his prayers for Philemon and the whole church. Because of the faith and the sharing of your faith.
And this is the first notice we have of Paul's ultimate desire in this epistle. The joyful return of Onesimus to Philemon's household. Welcoming back a runaway slave, which he has the right and authority to flog, scourge, or kill. Welcoming him back would be an effective good deed for Philemon. Onesimus being welcomed back as a brother in Christ would show the whole congregation in Colossae the great love of God who has freed us all from slavery to sin through Jesus. So we have here, this is the first of several indirect, implicit talkings about Onesimus and the welcoming back that is not actually brought out until verses 10 and 11. We have Paul craftily working through the different ways of speaking to Philemon about the great faith that he has, the great love that he has for Christ and for the brothers. So here, yes, is your runaway slave Onesimus. Here, yes, is the man who has defrauded you, betrayed you, whatever it is that caused him to leave Colossae and go to Rome. But now he is a changed man. He has found Paul in Rome and through that interaction has come to the faith, is a Christian himself. So he says that Philemon and Apphia and Archippus need to welcome him back as a brother in Christ. And we'll talk next week more about that appeal as we look at verses 8 through 16. But here is a quick first introduction to Philemon. Again, there are different ways of understanding this, but truly it is the epistle that shows us that regardless of what estate we are in, when we are brought to the faith, we could be rich, we could be poor, we could be free, we could be slave, we could be whatever ethnicity, as Paul talks about throughout his epistles, that it doesn't matter. We don't need to try to change anything of that. If by God's grace all these things work out, great. If they don't, well, we'll just continue to serve as we have before. But this time, doing it not for the pleasing of men and the master, but pleasing God. All right, that's it for this week and our brief introduction to Philemon. Next week, as I said, we'll pick up with verse 8, and we will see Paul's request of Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. But until then, this is Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for being here, digging deeper with me into this short epistle, and I pray that it helps you to be strengthened and equipped to wrestle with the theologies around you today and always. Amen.